The following is a presentation of Peoria Nazarene Church. We are a church that seeks to make, mature, and multiply followers of Jesus Christ among all people. For more information about Peoria Nazarene Church, visit peorianazarene.church.
We're going to take a few moments today. We're going to continue in this series, Stories of Belonging, but I wanted to start by, first of all, welcoming our kids. We are really glad you're in service with us today. We know that's a little bit of a change. Our children often are in the lower level. Usually they leave at this time to go downstairs. But we wanted you here. We wanted you to not just hear the story of what God has done in Christ, the story of redemption. We wanted you to see that symbolized. Our greatest desire for you as a loving church family, is that you would come to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no more solid of a foundation to build your life upon than to depend upon God, to trust in Christ. And everything we do as adults, sometimes imperfectly, we want to point you to Jesus. And we want you to know that you're loved and that you're cared for and that you belong here. How many of our kids are looking forward to next Sunday? Anybody looking forward to that? I don't want to get them wound up because they're being good right now, but I know a number are looking forward to that. And let me just echo what Pastor Matt shared. I can look back at when we've done events like this. You know, to be honest, we consider them more connection, you know, even than outreach. They are outreach. People come to the church who often wouldn't through an event like Friends and Family Sunday, but it's also a wonderful time that people newer to the church really get to know us as a family. And I can look back on pivotal moments, even from last year's, where certain people really became part of the family. You know, they really connected, and it was through that friendship, it was through that time together. And so we're looking forward to that. And let me just encourage you, look for somebody you don't know. Greet them. Show Christian hospitality. I already received word of one person reached out this week and they say, is there any way I can come if I don't go to church, if I just come for the time after? And the answer is absolutely. You know, we'd love for you to come. Because what they don't know is you will be with the church. You'll be with the family of God. And those relationships, those conversations really, really matter. So we're going to continue in this series, Stories of Belonging. And I want to talk with you today about new life in Christ. I want to focus on Ephesians 2, 1 through 10, but I want to start by asking you a question. Have you ever thought you were going the right direction when in all reality you were going the wrong way? Have you ever been on a trip? Now, I know with GPS today it seems like that's less and less possible, but have you ever turned the wrong way and you are convinced you're going the right way and then you start to drive and you go, wait a minute, this doesn't look familiar, or this isn't adding up. And then you realize you're going in the wrong way. Well, I wanted to show a video, and I'm going to do that in just a moment. But I got to throw some shade at somebody in the church before I do, because that's what loving pastors do. So the Green Bay Packers are playing the Minnesota Vikings today. And Dave Morgan, you heard, I think are the only Vikings fan in Peoria. But I wanted, since the Packers are playing the Vikings, now I know that it's not like Bears and Packers. Like, I didn't grow up hating the Vikings. I grew up hating the Bears. And I know we're not supposed to hate people, but we can hate sports teams. Right? So the Vikings were kind of like that second team that I really couldn't like. So I thought it'd be appropriate to show a video of what arguably is one of the most memorable moments in Minnesota Vikings history. And it's also an example of thinking you're going the right way when actually you're going the wrong way. So check out this video. You're welcome, Dave. You can hear the announcer, he's running the wrong way. And then he throws the ball in a safety, 2 points for the other team. The passage we're going to look at today, N.T. Wright, in one of his commentaries on Ephesians, he mentions that really we have a picture of life with Christ and a picture of life without Christ. And the picture that we have of life without Christ really is that kind of, if you can think of it this way, it's not just going the wrong way. It's not just living life in ways that God did not intend. It also is the way that much of the world goes. And it seems right, and it seems like this is how life should be lived, and this is what it means to be human. But the Apostle Paul in Ephesians reminds us that that is not how we were made to live. We were made to truly belong to God and his family. We were not made to follow the way of the world, the way of independence. So we're going to look at this passage together, and I want to invite you to first consider with me life without Christ. And this is that wrong way that often is the way of the world, the popular way. Ephesians 2, 1 through 3, hear the word of the Lord. It says, "And you were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind." This is the picture of living life the way that God does not intend for us. We could kind of describe that. One of the things Paul says is that to live life this way is to be dead in our sins. And if life is found only in God, then being separated from God is spiritual death. Paul says, he describes this, that this life of being dead to sin is something that it captures us. We truly are dead, unable to save ourselves. We are stuck in both our acts of sin and the condition of our sin. And if you were here last week, we considered the beginning of the story. That's not how God created us. He created us to dwell with him and for him to dwell with us, the God of holy love. He didn't create a world for sin. He created a world where we would live with him in humble dependence. He is God as the rightful king, and we depending and relying and submitting under his lordship. But Paul says that we follow the evil one, the prince of the power of the air. And instead of choosing to follow our creator who loves us, we follow the evil one, the very one who seeks to ruin us. As Paul describes this reality of spiritual death, we think we are in control. We think that this is life that he describes as driven by sinful desires, pursuing our own inclinations and our own things, our own passions of life that he calls the passions of the flesh. We think that is life. We think that it is the way life is intended to be lived, true freedom, but it's not. Paul talks about this captivity, this how we are trapped in sin, and then he concludes that with this, we are really deserving God's wrath, a holy, loving God. We are deserving his wrath because of what he has created good we have ruined by our sin, by our evil, by our corruption. This is the picture of life without Christ. This is the picture of apart from Jesus, how we go about our lives, being led by our own desires, being trapped in our sins, being unable to live as God intends us to live, being worthy of judgment. It's a bad picture. But Paul goes on and he paints a new picture that is possible for you and I, and that is life with Jesus Christ. Verse 4 says, "But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved and raised up with him and raised up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Life with Christ is when we come to know and experience God's love for us. It is the work of God alone that can make us alive, that can break the power of sin. It is not anything we can do on our own. And it's important that we notice here that it's because of God's love and his mercy, he then makes us alive. So he loves us, even in our death, even when we are living our life without him, he loves us. And in his holy love, he, through the Lord Jesus Christ and his death and resurrection, makes us alive again. So we come to know. To have life with Christ is to come to know, not just in your head, but to experience God's love, to trust in his love, to walk in his love, to live out of gratitude for what he has done for you. He's made you alive in Jesus Christ. This picture is a picture of salvation. It's a picture that in our death, in our sins, trapped by them, because of what God has done in Christ, we can be saved. We can be saved from the power of sin. We can be saved from the power of death. And we can be made new again. It's the message of the gospel. God comes to us in the middle of our death, in the middle of our sin, in the middle of going the wrong direction. He comes to us in the Lord Jesus Christ. He takes our shame, he takes our sin upon himself, and he dies for us. And he has the power to make us alive again. Paul wants us to understand that it's not just automatic. It's not just that these things have happened and they're true for every human being now. We don't need to do anything. We're just instantly made alive. He wants us to understand how we can be made alive again. And he wants us to understand that it is nothing we can do on our own. We are dead, spiritually dead. No pulse, no ability to come back to life. It's the initiative that God has taken in Christ that raises us to life. And he says, our part is to trust in him. It is by grace through faith. Grace, this free gift of what we do not deserve. His kindness to offer himself, to not leave us in our death and our sin and our brokenness, but to come to us. And it's a free gift that's undeserved. It's by faith. Faith is trusting. It's trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, his death, his resurrection. It's through that alone that we can come to experience the new life that God has for us, that we who are dead can be made alive again. The gospel is not about enrichment. It's about being saved from spiritual death. Some of us might start that way in our journey to following Christ, where we think, I need Jesus in my life because I need my life to be better. I want my life to just improve, so I need to add some Jesus to my life. Paul doesn't want us to miss it. That's not salvation. Jesus isn't about enriching your life, although a relationship with him changes your life and makes you new. No, salvation in the gospel is about God raising you to new life in Jesus Christ, being made alive by grace through faith. I want to invite you to look at verse 8. He says, For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Grace is completely undeserved. It is God's free gift. And here he offers us justification that we can be declared righteous before a holy God. This free gift of grace enables us to belong in God's family, to be a part of his family, to be united with Jesus Christ. And the same grace saves us from our sins and raises us to be a new creation. Our entire life, grace, salvation, and faith are an undeserved gift we have received from Christ. All that we have in Christ is a gift that we do not deserve. There's a word here that in verse 10 it says, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works. And it's a word that has been used a lot in referring to we are God's masterpiece and that he has a unique place for each one of us in his family. And we could probably go to other passages to demonstrate that. Paul considered that God had given him a unique calling. But there's something bigger going on here. The word is a word that is linked with creation in the Old Testament. It's a word that, in fact, the idea of a poem or masterpiece is kind of something we read back into it from where this word, it's actually the Greek word poema. But if we look back, we're reading our ideas into that. If we look back to the Old Testament, it's a word that is used to refer to God's creative activity. So we are God's new creation. And yes, there is an individual role for us in that. Yes, he has a work for you and I, but he saves us. He justifies us by grace for good works so that we would be a new creation people created for good works, to be like Jesus Christ, to walk with him. God has a place for us, and he intends that you and I would belong in his family. We can be made alive in Christ, and that is only possible when we trust in him. He does the work. He saves us. He justifies us. He raises us up with Christ, and he has a role for his church to play. We are his new creation community that declare the good news of Jesus Christ. I want to invite you to watch a video just to close the service today, and then we'll pray. We'll sing a song, and then we'll pray. And it's just a creative video that shows a picture of how God takes the brokenness in our life, and in Jesus Christ, as we trust in him, he makes us new again. So I want to invite you to watch this video, and then we'll sing together.